Well, this morning, I want to draw your attention completely in a different direction from Jonah chapter 4. It is scriptural. I want you to see four things about one word in this passage. I want you to notice, let's do a little background. Jonah is a Jewish preacher. He is human like everybody else. And the Ninevites were known around the world as butchers. They were wicked, ungodly. They would raid down in masses, hordes of soldiers, and they would take over lands, and they would just unspeakable things they would do to the men, the women, the children. They were horrible people. And so it got into everybody's heart around the world. The Ninevites. Oh, the Ninevites are coming. Oh, no. And so God comes to Jonah one night. Jonah, got a job for you. Yes, Lord. If you have your Bible, Jonah chapter 1. Notice with me if you would. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, you would have thought that the preacher of the gospel, the man of God, would say, they're going to get it because they're never going to repent. I'm going to go and let her rip at that the Lord's going to protect me. I'm going to tell them all what they deserve. They're just about ready to get it. And notice what he viewed in verse number 3. But Jonah rose up to flee from the Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. Why? God said, you go and cry against it and tell them I'm going to destroy the city. I'm going to destroy them unless they repent. Why did Jonah run? One reason. And I want us to learn this reason this morning. Go back to our original text. Now you remember the story. Jonah says, I'm not going to go. And he goes down and buys a ticket to the farthest place on earth. Tarshish. He buys a ticket, gets on the boat, gets on the ship, and he just collapses. Storm comes up. He doesn't care. You know why? He's decided to die before he goes to Nineveh. Why? Notice the wording in 1:1. And now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, God said this. It's going to happen. Arise, go to the city, that great city, and cry against it. Why would he not want to go and say, you're in trouble? Why would he not want to go to the most wicked people on earth and say, you're fixing to get yours? One reason. Look at the text, Jonah 4:1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. What did? And he was very angry. At what? And then he explained to the Lord why he was so angry. He's angry at God. And he knows better. Well, notice what it says. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? Apparently, in between 1:1, 1:2, and 1:3, he had a debate with God and said, God, I don't want to go because I know you. You love people. You love everybody. And you're a God of grace. And if they repent, you will forgive them. As wicked as they've been to your people, to my people, I'll not go. Notice if you would, verse number 2 in the middle of the verse, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled into Tarshish because I know you, God. Look at the next phrase. For I knew that thou art a gracious God. Lord, I know you will forgive anybody for anything. I know you. I can't live with that. I don't want the Ninevites to be forgiven. I want them to get what's coming to them. Has anybody here ever felt like Jonah? Somebody's done something wrong to you. You're driving your car and somebody cuts you off or goes across your lane. The next lane comes back in. And pretty soon you're, where's a police officer when you need them? I wished I was in a tank. I'd fix them. Anybody ever had that thought? And you'd admit it? I have. A big tank. And you know what? Jonah had the thought. He said, oh no. I'm not going to go tell them about you being a good God and a gracious God and you'll forgive them if they'll repent. I'm not going to do it. I'd rather die first. And so he goes into the ship, the farthest place on earth, running from the Lord because he didn't want them forgiven. And you know what? I just want you to take a step back this morning and look at the grace of God. Grace, definition of grace, kindness, goodness, benefits to us. In other words, he's beneficial to us. He's kind to us. He's gracious to us. He will do things for us that nobody else will do because he loves us. Even the most wicked people on the face of the earth, the Ninevites. And Jonah knew God's heart. He knew his character. We, you and I, we've got to know the character of God too. We name our children. We have a missionary going to China named Grace Jackson. We've got a teenager named Grace. Sorry, Dad, good daughter. I'll tell you that much. No, I'm kidding with you. I'm kidding with you. Joel, here's right here. I like to tease him a lot. Amazing Grace is such a sweet girl with Joel. Anyway, enough said. As we look at things, we begin to say, wow, where does grace come from? You know where the resource for grace is? God and God alone. You say, well, I was gracious to somebody the other day. Where'd you get it from? God put a hedge around you this week so that Satan didn't destroy you. He gave you the air of heaven for you to breathe and kept your mind intact so that Satan didn't make you a vegetable, and he allowed you to give grace, his grace, to somebody else. Everybody in this room, if you've gotten grace or you've given grace this week, it was because it came from God. And Jonah didn't want to be a source of grace to the Ninevites. Everybody in this room, when you need grace, when you need a benefit, when you need kindness, when you need goodness, whenever you need someone to do something for you or you need somebody to encourage your heart because they care about you, it's God's grace and his alone. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. For by grace are you saved. I mean, it's God's grace. All of us in this room have benefited from the grace of God. You might say, but Pastor, I worked myself through school. By God's grace, you did. Well, what did he have to do with it? Because you're still breathing his air. How many of us got to pick the place we were born? How many of us got to pick the things that we liked? God in his mind, in his perfect will, gave us minds that we could use for his glory. If you went to college, if you went to high school, if you could understand mathematics, 2 + 2 = 4, it's God's grace that you can comprehend that. And yet we want to take it for ourselves. God's been gracious to everybody in this room. You may look in the mirror and say, you know, I wished I was as smart as so-and-so. I wished I was as athletic as so-and-so, but God's grace was given to you so that you could be what you are. It's God's grace to you. Now, I want you to notice the resource for all grace is God himself. So understand here, Jonah looks at him and says, I know you, Lord. Look at, if you would, in verse number 2. He said, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. You're the God of grace. You're the one that would forgive anybody of anything. Lord, I know you. Do you know God this morning? When you're in trouble and you have a need, do you understand that God is the God of grace for you? Many times we carry weights and loads that we don't have to because we won't go to the God of grace. We won't unburden ourselves at the foot of the God of grace. I want you to notice who's the recipient of grace. We know who the resource of grace is. It's God alone. Who are the recipients of grace? Listen to this. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. So God says, I will give grace to everybody in this room. You've messed up. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but I've got grace for everybody. Everybody that's sinned, I've got grace. Maybe you've got some plans in your mind that you would like to do and you know they're not right. If you'd come to the Lord, he will give you grace. You don't deserve it. You see, it's an unmerited goodness. It's something you don't deserve. You cannot work hard enough to get the grace of God. It's a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And yet, we live our lives without the concept that God is willing to give me grace if I will but humble myself. Oh Lord, I need your grace. It's for everybody in this room. Did you know it's grace for God for every animal? God provides for all the animals. Matthew chapter 6. He clearly says, I provide for the birds of the air, the animals of the field. I do that. Why are you worried about it? You're more important to me than the animals and the birds that fly. So God provides grace for every creature on earth. It's God's grace. He's the benefactor for everybody. And yet, somehow, by some method, we get into trouble and we don't plead for his grace. I'll do it. I'll fight through it. God is the author of grace, and it's for everybody in this room. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Did you hear what Jonah said about the Ninevites? I don't care about them. I want them to all die and go to hell. I don't want them. And I'm willing to run for it. And yes, let me tell you how sincere he was. These sailors care more about him than he cared for himself. So the storm comes up and they're trying to get the water out of the boat and they're trying to stay alive and they come in and he's asleep. And they say, hey, get up. We're about to die and you're sleeping. He says, well, look, it's because of me. What do you mean it's because of you? Well, this storm's because of me because God's angry at me because I won't do what he says. I don't want to give grace to the Ninevites on any stretch of the measure. Well, look, we'll just pray to your God and I won't do it. And they tried their best because they could tell he was a stubborn preacher. And all of a sudden they got to the end of their rope and said, we're going to die. And he says, throw me overboard and it'll be okay. And they say, okay, Lord, forgive us. And they throw him overboard and the sea goes calm. Oh my, what just happened? He must have been right. The God of heaven must have been angry with him. And he's just going down, blah, 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 he's going to drown. And God scoops him up with a whale. Goes into the belly of the whale. And you read it in chapter 2. He thinks he went to hell. And he doesn't repent for 3 days. That is stubborn. As the whale went down into the middle of the sea and goes down deep, all of a sudden he sees some kelp and all of a sudden, read it, chapter 2, kelp, he takes a big bite of kelp and all of a sudden, old Jonah in the middle of the whale, all of a sudden, kelp all over the place. Pressure. I mean, the pressure of that whale going down, water, he thinks he's drowning. For 3 days he struggles. I don't care about the Ninevites. I will not go. On the third day, he's reached the end of his rope. He says, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Anybody here ever gotten caught doing something you knew you shouldn't have done? And you said, I'm sorry, but you considered you'd do it again if you could get away with it. You really weren't sorry. You were just sorry you got caught. You know, that happened to Jonah. And so he says, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I forgive me. And so he, the old whale puts him out on the bank and he cleans himself up and he goes to Nineveh and he preaches and he preaches and he preaches and the whole city repents. And he goes back and he sits down and he gets angry in his heart. I knew you'd forgive them, God. That's why I told you in the first place I didn't want to go. And you know what? Do anybody know what the next phrase is? Just kill me now. He didn't want to live. He had so much hatred in his heart. Do you understand that God forgave the Ninevites, the butchers of the world? So you know what? I don't know what you've done, but God will forgive you if you'd come to him. He's the God of all grace. Now I want you to take just a minute, but you'll notice, if you would, these results of grace. I see the recipients as all of us. But what are some of the results of grace? Well, number one, I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. A famous verse, but I want you to see it. Ephesians chapter 2, and I want you to notice this. Ephesians chapter 2, you and I can see the grace of God. Notice with me, if you would, Ephesians chapter 2. Look with me. Now, follow with me, verse number 7. This is Ephesians 2, 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. So his greatest gift of grace is Jesus Christ to all of us. And so you and I, what are one of the results of grace is his son. He's gracious to us, but he gives it to us in the form of his son. You want to know why? Because he's the only one that could pay our debt of sin. God's grace was given to you. That cross and that people wear around their neck and they got crosses different places. Do you understand? That represents God's greatest gift to us, his son dying for you and I. It's God's grace. Now, one of the results of that grace is that you can refuse it. Jonah did. Oh, he was saved, but he rejected God's grace to others. And there are some people, I don't want that person to get blessed. Whenever you see someone else benefit and you don't, or you see someone else profited or someone else raised up in their company and you're not, and there's this feeling of competition in your heart, there's this feeling of angst in your heart, of jealousy, better be careful, you're getting like Jonah. He didn't want the Ninevites forgiven. He wanted them all punished. And God said, I will forgive everybody, but you've got to accept my grace. The Ninevites said, oh, Lord, we didn't realize how wicked we are. We're sorry. And God forgave them. They accepted his grace. And Jonah was bitter and angry. Now, today, you don't have to accept the grace of God. You can go on your own. Jonah does. I want you to notice, if you would, look, keep your finger in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to come back to there in just a moment. But notice Jonah chapter 4. I want you to see this in verse number 3. Jonah 4, 3. Now therefore, O Lord, take, I beseech thee. Look here. Take my life, Lord. I beseech thee. Lord, I'm pleading with you. Take my life from me. I'd rather die. For it's better for me to die than to live. Now, if there's ever a prayer you don't want to pray, you don't want to say, Lord, take me on to heaven. Because he might do it. And we don't have a record at the end of this book that God didn't do it. I think God did. Because if you'll notice, it ends with a question. It's the only book in the Bible that ends with a question mark. And we're left to consider what happens if we don't accept the grace of God. Everybody in this room. God's giving grace to you. He's offering you the gift of eternal life. Now take your Bible and turn, if you would, your finger right back to Ephesians. And notice this in verse number 8. Now follow with me. In verse 7 he says, the exceeding goodness, the exceeding riches of his grace in Jesus Christ. And then notice verse 8. For by grace are you saved. So anybody that's going to heaven this morning, you have to accept his grace. It's an invitation to you. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, pause just a minute. What happens is God offers this grace to you and says, Dave Pittman, I'll forgive you if you'll accept it. I've already paid your debt of sin with my son. His blood washed away your sin. Will you accept it? And I have a choice. And I said, well, I think I'll just get baptized and make it myself. I think I'll just give money, or I'll just read my Bible, or I'll just be good. I'll just turn over a new leaf. And God says, will you accept my grace? It's grace or nothing. For by grace are you saved through faith. Well, do I have to accept Jesus? It's the only way to heaven. It's offered to everybody in this room. You don't have to accept it. And you'll notice it doesn't say you got to be a member of Temple Baptist Church or all the members of Temple Baptist Church going to heaven. It doesn't say that in the book. It says everybody that accepts the offer of grace, it's all the recipients in the world can have it, but they're not all going to heaven. Everybody's not a child of God. So when he says in Matthew, when thou prayest, pray my Father which art in heaven, but God is not everybody's Father until you accept his grace. Then you become a child of God. It's got nothing to do with what church you're at, what church you're in. It doesn't have anything to do with how much you give. It doesn't have anything to do with anything you and I do. Notice what he says. And listen to this next phrase in Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. This grace is God's gift to you. This salvation is God's gift to you. A gift is something you don't pay for. You just receive it. This morning, if you've not taken the time to accept his grace, would you trust him this morning? Would you say, Lord, I accept your grace. I am a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'm sorry. Do what the Ninevites did. And it doesn't matter your wickedness. Anybody here chopped up another human being with a sword? I didn't think so. They did. Anybody here butchered children? I didn't think so. They did. And they came to themselves and said, oh God, we're sorry. Forgive us. And he extended his grace. One of the reasons I became a preacher was because that was the greatest story I ever heard. That God could forgive anybody. Now, I grew up as a plumber. Plumbers are some of the sorriest people on the face of the earth. I'm just saying the way it is. Not necessarily here, but the way they act and the way they do. It's a sorry lot. Now, Victor excluded. He's over here. He's a plumber. He's one of the fine Christians that I know. But if you exclude Victor, I don't know of another plumber that loves the Lord. I just don't. Now, my point is, every plumber I could go and say, did you know God loves you? Ah, blank, I don't want to hear that. But he still loves you. He'd give you his grace if you'd accept it. I don't want any part of that. Can't tell you how many times I heard that kind of thing. Today, the Lord Jesus will offer his grace to you. We accept it. Now, there's one other thing about this grace. It not only saves you, but I want you to notice too, it can change you. This grace can. Now, I want to ask you, what is the response to grace? Well, it's we accept it. We accept the grace that God's given to us. Whether it be in salvation or whether it be in forgiveness of our sin. We as Christians, we still sin. What do you do with your sin after you've been saved? Well, there's a difference between relationship and fellowship. We've gone over this before. Relationship, you're born into God's family, John 3:3. Fellowship is maintained every day. You get married and you get married on a certain date. Well, that relationship is established. It's permanent in God's eyes, but The fellowship is every day you get up. If she takes the toothpaste and squeezes it in the middle and it bugs a fry out of you and you have to go to her and say, why do you keep squeezing the toothpaste in the middle of the toothpaste bucket? It just makes it all over the place. And so there's something between you. It's a toothpaste. Or maybe he did something. He didn't, you know, threw his clothes all over the place. Don't raise your hand. Threw his clothes all over the place. And so you come in and say, look, all I do is pick up after you. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, but my point is things get between people. And things get between you and God. And he's always willing to extend grace. Your mate may not always be willing to forgive you for anything you've done. They ought to, but God is. He will give you grace. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll restore fellowship. Relationship is permanent. Fellowship is temporary, day to day, hour to hour. All of us can have the grace of God in forgiveness. Now, I want you to know this last thing. And this is really why I wanted to spend much of the time, the responsibility of grace. How many of you in this room have trusted Christ as your Savior? There's been a time in your life when you look back to, you know, I was at camp, I was in my bedroom, I was at church, I was here, I was wherever it might be, but you've trusted Christ as Savior and you know it. Would you raise your hand? Let me see it just real quickly up. All right, now, the Lord was looking at that. All of us have a responsibility toward that grace God gave us. Number one responsibility is in Romans chapter 6. Okay, we're going to heaven. So now I can live however I want. Anybody here ever knew what was right to do and just decided not to do it at that moment? And you're a Christian. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. I think probably all of us Christians have done that. Yeah, I know what's right to do. My responsibility of grace is to say, Lord, I love you for giving me grace. I'll do anything you want me to do. But Lord, right now, I want to do that. The responsibility of grace is that God would say, God forbid I would do that. I know I could let a string of curse words out and I'd still go to heaven because I'm God's child. God forbid that you do that. Well, I know I could get mad at my mate because of what they did to me, and it's going to be okay. I know they didn't do me right. I've got an excuse. Do you understand? God forbid that we would do that. We're to extend the same grace God's given to us to others. You're a child of God. You're to represent him. It's a responsibility of grace. Here you are in school and one girl tells a story about you or makes up something about you. I know girls don't do that in our school, but maybe that happens every once in a while. And so what do you have the opportunity to do? Well, I'm going to go pay her back. I'm going to go tell her what I think. Or you can extend grace. Everybody in this room's got the responsibility to extend grace. You know why you do that? You bring glory to God. That's what the Bible says. When we give grace, we give glory to God. You have a responsibility toward grace, and it's to do what is right because he was so loving and generous and gracious to you. You have a responsibility to say, Lord, I don't want to sin ever again. Lord, I want to be in your image. I want to be like you, Lord, because of what you've given to me. This grace is more than I can imagine. Lord, I want to be like you. I want to forgive without being asked. I want to bless people that don't deserve it. Lord, help me to treat the Ninevites sweetly. You know what Jonah's problem was? He was prejudiced. Ever heard of that word? It's all over our world. Prejudice. Poor toward the rich, rich toward the poor. Different colors of us toward other people. Different stratas of financial positions. We're prejudiced. Do you understand today? Jonah was prejudiced, and his life ended with a question mark. Because God says, I want my children to extend grace. I want you to be gracious. I want you to be like me. I want you to extend grace. I want you to live a gracious life. I want you to live and say, well, here's something I could do. I think I want to do it. and we look up and there's a movie on. I want to watch it. I know it's not got some good stuff in it. I know it's got the bad language in it, but I want to do it, Lord. And the Lord says, I gave you grace. You can, but I'm asking you not to. What is your choice? Okay, Lord, I'll do what you want. Okay, Lord, my wife did this or my husband did that, they don't deserve to be forgiven. I extended you grace. Your responsibility is to be like me. Will you do it? Lord, it's hard. You see these marks? That was hard. Let me see yours. Can I tell you something? I have no marks on me because of Christ. But I put them on him. So when he says, Dave Pittman, you give grace. Lord, I love you. Help me to give more grace. In the Old Testament and New Testament, the Romans had come in the early days. And when they came in, they took over really much of the world. Took over the Greeks. So there was still this Greek, matter of fact, the Bible, original Bible was written Koine Greek. And so here they are, the Romans have taken over and the Jewish people are they've knuckled under, they've been conquered and they don't like the Roman soldiers at all. And so the Lord teaches a lesson about giving grace. And this is the lesson he teaches. And all of us could learn to do this. It would change our life and it would change the opinion of the world of Christians. And so he said, look, he said, whenever the Roman soldiers, there was a rule in Rome that every Jewish boy, man, boy, whatever, whenever a Jewish man was carrying a bag, suitcase, he was carrying his equipment for war, battle, he could take that and say, hey, you, Jewish, come here, you kid. And he'd drop it down and say, carry it for me. Now, they had to carry it or they could be imprisoned. Does anybody know how long they had to carry it? Josiah? 1 mile. Where'd you get that from? The Bible. That's right. So they'd pick it up and carry it 1 mile. So you know what they would do? What a lot of Christians do. I don't like this, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They counted the steps and they dropped it. They made no impact on the Roman soldiers because they refused to extend grace. So you know what God says? He says, when they demand you take it a mile, he said, you take it too. What? That's not fair. He said, that wasn't fair. But I loved you, and it was worth it. You're worth it. Will you give grace? So the Jewish Christian young boys would take that bag, and they would count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 10, 12, 13. They'd get to 5,280 and they'd start 81, 82 and the Roman soldier go, what's he doing? All the way to 2 miles and say, it was a pleasure, sir. What just happened? When a Christian's talked about and forgives, what just happened? Whenever somebody's mean to us, we're good to them. What just happened? You see, the responsibility of grace that we all have as Christians is to give it back. It's a gift that can change the heart when nothing else will. I'm reminded that these Jewish boys didn't like to do it. And there was another one where, you know, look, whenever your neighbor is out of coals and they don't have a match and they're freezing and they're starving, he says, you take your coals. They haven't lived right with you. One day I was mowing my grass out. I didn't realize it. And I was a new homeowner and didn't know what I was doing. Took my grass and mowed it. My yard, my house had been a rent house. And so it was weeds this tall. And so, you know, I'm mowing it all up. I get it all mowed over. And my next door neighbor was a truck driver, 18-wheeler. And his yard was perfect. He was the most weird truck driver I've ever seen in my life. He liked everything just neat and clean. I mean, he had flowers. I mean, a truck driver. And so here I am, this Christian young man, and I'm blowing my weeds on his side. I didn't think. Had to go to him and say, look, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, keep your weeds on your side. He threw them back on my side. I am so sorry. Now I got a choice. He can't do that to me. Well, the Lord says, when your neighbor is out of coals, he can't cook and he can't stay warm, and he comes over and says, would you give me a coal, please, so I can start my fire? Does anyone know what says his head? You don't take your little metal spatula and get underneath a coal and drop it over and say, there you go, enjoy. You get one cup, one little coal you put in, you go, you're trying to get the fire started. Anybody ever try to do that? One match, the wind blowing, ever try to get a fire started? I mean, what, you're scared to death the fire's going to go out. Now what do I do? He says, you heap coals of fire on their head. They carry it on their head. You give them all kinds of coals. Take half of yours and pour it on there. So when they get to the house, look what our neighbor did. They made sure our food would get cooked. Our house would be warm. God says, give them grace. More than they deserve. Be good to people. Represent Christ well. Today, everybody in this room that's a Christian has a responsibility of grace. I want to back up now. Take your Bible, turn back to Jonah, chapter 4. Notice, if you would, verse 7 of chapter 3. Now follow with me and we're done. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let every man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. He said, let's all pray for repentance and pray for sorrow and pray for grace. In verse number 10, and God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil. In verse 1 of chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He refused to give grace in his heart. Today, who is it that the Holy Spirit brought up to your mind? I need to give grace to so-and-so. I need to forgive so-and-so. I need to be good. And the Holy Spirit brought a name to your mind, a teenager, a brother or sister. And you need to go to them and say, look, I am so sorry. God was good to me and gracious, and I wasn't back to you. I'm sorry. For I knew thee, that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger. Today, are we representative of our Lord? Are we giving grace? It's our responsibility. Today, everybody in this room that's saved has a responsibility of grace. Jonah refused. And I want you to listen to this. Verse number 11 of chapter 4, we'll close. Notice. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, 120,000 children that can't determine between the left hand and the right hand. And he says, and also much cattle. Question mark. We don't know what happened to Jonah, but I can tell you what happened to him. God was finished with him because he refused to give grace. He had a reason, but God didn't accept it. Today, are you giving grace? Have you accepted God's grace? Jonah is a great example of a Christian that did something he didn't want to do, and he wished God wouldn't have made him do it, but he did it anyway and ended up backfiring on the Christian. He got bitter, he got angry, and his life ended in a question mark. Will yours end in a question mark? Doesn't have to. Give grace because you love him, and he'll give grace to you. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn, "Oh, the Grace of God." We're going to sing this morning a song that everybody knows, an invitation from an old slave trader that traded slaves and got saved on a ship that changed his life. He wrote a song about the grace God gave to him. When we stand to sing, if you need to come this morning and say, "Lord, I haven't given much grace to people. I'm sorry, I've failed in my responsibility." Maybe you've taken advantage of grace and you lived the way you wanted. And you say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I need to come to this altar." Maybe there's somebody you need to pray for. You want to give them grace. You just don't know how yet. Could I encourage you this morning? Leave your seat, come to this altar, and say, "Lord, I need to talk to you about grace." God needs Christians of grace. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. Those that are here today and they could look back and couldn't find a place where they trusted you as Savior, help them to accept your grace this morning. In your precious name we pray. Amen.